This hour, the muse of the legacy of Carole King. Carole King won a very major award at the end of May, the Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for the popular song. She is the first woman to receive this award. And she has written so many songs that became huge hits in this country, songs that she sang and songs that many other performers sang as well. We'll hear many of them during the course of this hour. Joel Whitburn named her the most successful female songwriter of 1955 to 1999 because she wrote or co-wrote 118 pop hits on the Billboard Hot 100. And in 2005, a music historian, Stuart DeVoy, found her the most successful female songwriter on the UK singles chart from 1952 to 2005. In 2010, she and James Taylor staged their Troubadour reunion tour together, and she said that that is probably the most likely the last tour of her life, and that she is now, alas, alas, out of the songwriting business. Joel Whitburn is with us this hour to talk about Carole King. Joel is from Wisconsin. He's a music historian. He founded Record Research in Menominee Falls in 1970, and his research extends from 1890 until now. He's the author of the Top 40 Hits books published by Billboard, collector of phonograph records, and has one of the world's largest collections, nearly every 78 RPM. 45 singles, LPs, and compact discs to appear on the Billboard charts. Carole King, this hour of the program. I'm sure many of you are singing along. You're about my age, and you know that song. You know the words to many of her songs. She had a particular impact on women, actually, because of the nature of what she wrote about. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Joel Whitburn, long time. I haven't talked to you in years. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Kathleen. It has been quite a few years.
Yeah, it's been quite a few years.
Maybe a decade or more.
Yeah, probably.
But, I always enjoyed doing the shows with you.
Yeah. I am so glad that she won. When I look at her body of work, and you've looked at it so substantially, she was a major, major songwriter, even songs that she fronted for a lot of people for such a long period of time. Quite a gifted songwriter, wasn't she?
Oh, I mean, without question, Kathleen, she's definitely the most successful female songwriter in pop music history. We did a book called Pop Annual, which shows all the songwriters of the hits. And then we compiled all the songwriters from that, the top songwriters. And she ranks number 9 in history, you know, behind people like Paul McCartney, John Lennon, Burt Bacharach.
Goodness.
So, and there's no other female really close to her. As far as the top songwriters in the history of, at least of the rock era from about the past 60 years.
Do you think this award was long overdue, Joel?
Well, you mean the Gershwin Award?
Yes.
They just began the award in 2007, Kathleen. That was the first year. You know, it was in honor of George and Ira Gershwin's tremendous songwriting of. They did Rhapsody in Blue, Porgy and Bess, you know, Summertime.
I love them.
Yeah, just, you know, great classical songwriter. But Paul Simon was the first winner in 2007. And then Stevie Wonder, McCartney, Burt Bacharach, and Hal David won it together. And then Carole King. So I don't think it's overdue. I think it's right on time. She's right up there with McCartney and Stevie Wonder and those others. So it's a tremendous honor.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think of Carole King, you know, I remember her in the early 60s singing songs like It Might As Well Rain and you know, Until December and all those great pop songs that she and her husband, Jerry Goffin, wrote. He was the lyricist. Things like Crying in the Rain and, he did, The Locomotion. He did one for the monk. They did one for the Monkees.
Will You Love Me Tomorrow? The Shirelles.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, and you know that's my sister's all-time favorite
song. Is it really?
Yes, absolutely. And of course, You've Got a Friend. She wrote,
Beautiful song.
On her Tapestry album. Mm-hmm. And her good buddy, like I think you mentioned the Troubadour concerts, James Taylor, loved the song, and he just kind of made it his own, although she was the songwriter. So actually, she has written in our compilation now, from 1955 through 2012, she's written 148 American chart hits.
Isn't that phenomenal?
So that's phenomenal.
And, yes.
She's her Tapestry album, which set all kinds of records, Grammy Awards, and it sold 10 million copies here domestically already. And I think Adele just hit that number last year, 10 million. So she's in a very rare territory in a lot of ways with million-selling records, Grammy Awards. And, you know, she's also won the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. She's also won the Grammy Trustee Award. She's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Jerry Goffin as songwriting team. It's just amazing, the awards, the honors, and the great music that she's given all of us here in this country, just some of the greatest American popular songs ever.
I have read this story about her. Tell me if you can confirm it. She was 15 years old in 1957. She got on a train from Brooklyn to Manhattan, and she had songs that she had already written. She started with the A's in the phone book and began visiting music industry executives. And yes, a few of them said, you come back later, but ABC Paramount invited her to record four of her songs, and it was a number that you probably know about, Joel. I don't know this song, Babysitting?
No. That's true, though. I read that. That was her first demo recording, was Babysitting. I don't believe it was released commercially.
Oh.
Of course, it never charted. But she was, you know, doing demo recordings for various music people. You know, she grew up in the Brooklyn area, so she had a nice... It was very handy for her to go into Manhattan to where all the record companies were and bring, you know, do some demos. But Neil Sedaka, you know, they dated a little bit, I guess, and he wrote, you know, the song "Old Carol," which I'm sure you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Was a top 10 hit for about Carole King, and then she recorded a song called "O'Neill," pretending she was a Tennessee hillbilly and in love with Neil. And that I have that record. I remember buying that record, but they played that in the Milwaukee stations. And it was a real novelty, funny record. And but that was the first time I had heard of Carole King, was when she did O'Neill. But then she had good success, you know, in the early 60s with her own recordings on the Dimension label. And then her songwriting. She and Jerry were just tremendous. He wrote the lyrics, she wrote the music. And they composed all these, what, 8 or 9 number one hits. 48, I think, top, I forget, I know she has 64 top 40 hits. That's amazing. I mean, you know, if you can have one top 40 hit in your life, that would be great. You know, you could live off that the rest of your life. So she's just an amazing lady, and I don't know if you caught her Troubadour concert.
I didn't, no. The
2007 performance. Oh, what an amazing... And she looked terrific.
Now, she
does.
She looks
2007, so she was
good.
Probably in her late 60s, I guess.
Mm-hmm. She's 71 now, I think,
yeah,
isn't she?
Yeah, she's in her early 70s.
That's what that Idaho living on a ranch will do for you. A
but
good
she
fresh
looked terrific.
Air.
And, of course, James Taylor looked great. And, you know, they harmonized together on You've Got a Friend. She would sing It's Too Late, and he would sing Sweet Baby James. And, oh, yeah, you could just sit there and listen to that thing over and over.
Yeah, let's listen to You've Got a Friend now, because it has been played. I understand that she sang this, actually. She's been a political activist in her life, and she sang this song to Fidel Castro as well. It became a huge hit, number one hit. We think about James Taylor when we think about this song. But let's play a little chunk of it. It's a lovely song written by Carole King, You've Got a Friend.
Down and trust. this night. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, you've got a friend.
Carole King and You've Got a Friend. Did she write that song for James Taylor, Joel, or did she record it originally?
No. She wrote the song, and he heard the album. You know, they recorded it, you know, in the Warner Brothers studios together, and she did a lot of backing vocals on his current album back in 1971. And he was there when she was recording, doing her Tapestry numbers. And he loved the song, and she didn't release it. Of course, she did It's Too Late was the single she released off it rather than You've Got a Friend. And, of course, It's Too Late went right to number one and won a Grammy Award for that. But on that album, I mean, besides You've Got a Friend and It's Too Late, you know, songs like I Feel the Earth Move, mm-hmm. So Far Away, Where You Lead, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman was written on that album by her. And that became a huge hit for Aretha Franklin. And then she also did a remake of Will You Love Me Tomorrow, the Goffin King song from 1962. So that Tapestry album sold, I mentioned, 10 million copies. It's ranked, except for, I guess, if you would call Whitney Houston's Bodyguard album a female vocal album, although she only sang six songs on the album, Carole King's Tapestry ranks as the top album by a female artist as far as number of weeks charted, and it was number one for 15 weeks, and it stayed on the charts for almost 6 years.
Oh, my gosh, isn't that something?
Think of that, Kathleen.
Right.
You know, today, if you can get on the album charts for a week or two, these things come and go as fast as, you know, within a month, most of them are off.
Mm-hmm.
It's very seldom you see something with that kind of longevity.
We're talking about the musical legacy of Carole King this hour of our program with Joel Whitburn, founder of Record Research. He's a music historian, author of the Top Pop Singles book series covering the history of Billboard's popular music charts, and he has probably one of the most extensive record collections in the whole world. Let's welcome phone calls. Let me give you our phone number, because I know many of you are listening. When you hear Carole King, you're singing along with her. I think that she draws, in her audiences, she still draws devoted baby boomer audiences. She has said, they've connected with me, and in connecting with me, they're really connecting with themselves and thinking of where they were when they first heard one of my songs. I think that is very true of her songs in particular, a few other artists, but it's amazing how you can remember the words of the songs, at least I can. So we welcome your phone calls, your reminiscence of where you heard her, what you think of her ability here. I think a lot of these songs will last for a long, long time. And, congratulate her on receiving this big award, the Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for Popular Song. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email, you can send messages that way as well, is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
So far away, doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore? It would be so fine to see your face at my door. Doesn't isn't help to know you're just time away. Long ago I reached for you and there you stood. Holding you again could only do me good. How I wish I could, but you're so
Carol King from her Tapestry album and a song that she released as a single from that, So Far Away. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. We're honoring her musical legacy because she won the Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for Popular Song, the first woman to receive the award. Big ceremony at the White House in the last couple weeks. And I know that that particular album is one that probably many of you purchased many years ago. Brady in Milwaukee is our first caller, and our guest this hour is Joel Whitburn. Brady, hi.
Hi, love the program. I recently got into Carole King pretty heavily, like a year or two ago. My brother showed me the song Brother, Brother.
Oh, yes.
From the music album.
I love that song.
And that album really blew me away. I had heard so much about Tapestry, and music is really the one that I fell in love with. And then doubly, once I heard the Legendary Demos compilation that came out, I think, last year, I was blown away with the alternate versions from Tapestry and just some of the other songs she wrote for other artists.
Mm. And you're a young person, Brady. You're just discovering her. She was music of my generation, but you're just discovering her as a younger person. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'm 24.
So oh, yes, much younger
young,
person.
But yeah, I've really enjoyed getting into her music. She's a big inspiration.
Joel, are there a lot of younger people who are discovering her, or has she been popular with generations all along?
Well, I think all along. I think that
really?
Tapestry album being on the charts for 6 years proves it. People just keep discovering her, and they just keep looking for her albums. And I think he's right, though. I mean, that music album was tremendous. That was also a number one album. It was right after her Tapestry album. Went number one, it was a big platinum seller, and then she had a string of gold and platinum sellers well all the way through the 70s. So, and you know, and her greatest hits album is been a huge seller because when people find out about Carole King and they like one of her songs, obviously they want more. And it's kind of the same thing that Adele is going through. You know, she had one hit. It started in England and came over here, and people fell in love with it. And she just had, you know, a string of about five hits in a row, and everybody now is waiting for her next album.
So what is it about Carole King? A couple questions here. One, do you think she will be as everlasting as George and Ira Gershwin? And two, what is it about the songs themselves, the lyrics, that make her everlasting?
Well, you know, I mean, she speaks from her heart of, you know, of real life experiences and things, and her view of the world. She speaks very much about that, and people like that. She's very honest, and she comes that through that way. When you see her concerts and you see her on TV, when James Taylor was singing his songs, and she was sitting at the piano, sometimes playing, sometimes just humming, but she had her eyes closed and her head was moving back and forth. She just was into the lyrics and the music, and you could just see it was just swaying her. And it just was a beautiful shot to see James out front with the guitar
mm-hmm.
and Carole in the back just loving the songs. And so her music, yeah, I don't know if, you know, Gershwin obviously was back in the 20s and 30s and you know, great classical music. Carole King was more pop, of course, with all of her number one hits from the early 60s, and then of course all of these great albums of the 70s, which songs that she wrote without a partner mostly, although she did get back together with Jerry Goffin. You know, they were married for a while and then they split.
He became a heroin addict, didn't he die of an overdose?
Yes, he did. But they did do some things after their divorce and wrote a few things together. And then she had a couple other lyrical partners that worked with her a little bit. But I would say about 90% of her work in the 70s was all music and lyrics by Carole King.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think that, Kathleen, that her legacy is going to carry on for many generations.
I think so. As I listen to these songs, I think you're right. Brady, you mentioned the song Brother, Brother. I really like that song, too. So how often can you dedicate a song to Brady on public radio? This one's for you, Brady. Here's a part of it. Brother, Brother by Carole King. We have a couple, Joel, messages on Facebook. Let me read them and go with them, if you would, please. From Susan, I believe she did a series of songs to go along with children's books, Children or Chicken Soup with Rice, Pierre, and I absolutely love them. Her voice is so smooth. Love it. And James writes, was that the project she did with Maurice Sendak? PBS used to use a video from it. I think the song was One Was Johnny for filler during kids programming.
I'd have to check into that to give the definitive answer. But I know she wrote that children's song, but I don't remember exactly when that was. I'd have to look that up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, somebody on Facebook put a, what did they put up there? Some, I think they, the song and everything too, the PBS thing. So you may want to go to our Facebook page to find out more about that. And that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. Let's go to more phone calls. Tom in Minnesota is next. Hi, Tom.
Yes, hello. I just want to ask your guest, I just received a collection of albums from an older brother who passed away a couple of years ago, and I was amazed at how many Carole King albums he actually had in this collection. He was the kind of guy that would play it once, record it onto a cassette, never play it again on the album, so they're in pristine shape, but I know he had about 7 or 8 albums, and my question is, how many did she actually put out in the 60s and 70s?
Well, from Tapestry up until today, she put out about 20 albums.
Goodness.
Yeah. And, that, of course, that includes a TV album that she did called Really Rosie, and an In Concert album that she did, and then, of course, her greatest hits. But other than that, it was probably about 18 studio albums. So there's a lot of good Carole King material out there if you want to look, you know, beyond Tapestry and her music album, but albums like Wrap Around Joy and Rhymes and Reasons, Thoroughbred, those are all terrific albums. So if you can get a hold of them, and they should be easy to find because they sold well, there was millions of them printed, and you should be able to find them.
Tom, thanks very much for the call. Let's go to Bob next in Brookfield. Hi, Bob.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. Say, Mr. Whitberg, I just wanted to say hello. Carole King's music has sort of played a role in my life. When I first started dating my wife, I didn't know anything about her music, but I knew that my future wife liked her music a lot, so I got some of her actually 8-track cassettes, which
8-track cassettes, right?
And,
I remember those.
played those in the car, and I ended up marrying this woman. Coincidentally, her father is a fellow that I think you know, Al Bander.
Oh, sure. I know Al Bander.
Sure. We don't know Al Bander. Who's Al Bander?
Al Bander was a guy that designed a lot of my book covers.
Oh.
And, you know, design mailers and things like that.
Oh. Just
a terrific man. He passed away, about 10 years ago, I think?
Yeah, a little more than that. But, and Carole King was, Al has several other kids, and she was always extremely popular with them. Mm-hmm. Also, I believe that Carole King has a daughter who's a singer who makes children's records, and my
Louise
kids
Goffin.
And, in fact, grandkids actually enjoy her music quite a bit. I think her name is Sherry Goffin.
Louise. Is it? Or is there another daughter?
The daughter
she has several
the
children.
Daughter that's had some success is Louise Goffin.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a couple chart hits.
And she produced Carole King's holiday album in 2011, right?
That's, and it's a great album.
Is it? I haven't heard it.
Yeah. It's you should, you know, if you like holiday music, it's a great new album that she put together.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Bob, for the call. Our number is 800-486-8655. We're celebrating the musical legacy of Carole King this hour because of the fact that she got a big award. Fairly recently was honored at the White House for her career, which has spanned 5 decades. She was awarded the Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for Popular Song. 800-486-8655. Marilyn writes, I had the extreme privilege of meeting Carole King when she came to Superior to campaign for John Kerry. I have the LP but couldn't find it, so I went out beforehand and purchased a CD and got her autograph. She was my all-time favorite singer in the 70s. I still listen to her songs now on an iPod Nano. The world has changed. And she has, I guess, Joel, been politically active for environmental reasons and political activism for a long time, hasn't she?
Oh, yes. Yes, she... I know she campaigned. I mean, you mentioned John Kerry, and she, I think, was currently campaigning for the person that was to take, his place when he left to become Secretary of State.
Yes.
And so she campaigned heavily for that, and toured with him. And then she's also very much into environmental issues. And speaks really, really well in on her tours about that problem.
Mm-hmm.
So she's doing some great work, and God bless her. I hope she keeps recording and continues on with tours because, I mean, there's nobody really like Carole King, as far as a female singer-songwriter.
Do you think she will? Indications are that
yes.
She's not going to. The thing with James Taylor was the end of the traveling.
She said that. She said that this is the end. It's time for her to stop the songwriting, the albums, the tours, and that. But then, about a year later, she kind of said, "Well, I just kind of needed a break."
Oh.
So I think we're going to hear more from her. I think hopefully she'll do her some touring. I mean, wouldn't it be great if she'd come to Milwaukee for Summerfest or something?
Oh, there's a good idea. Well, let's just invite her.
I mean, I think that would draw the biggest crowd in
history.
Yes,
it would. It would be a huge crowd. It would be a wonderful concert, yes.
Oh, it would be the greatest.
Well, I wonder if anybody's thought of doing that.
Probably not. Probably not, but I just think it would draw people from the, 3-4 state area, and I don't know where they'd put them all because she has so many fans and the young people that would want to get to know Carole and James and their wonderful music. I mean, just think of those two and the songs that they've written and performed and just how amazing a couple hours would be.
Yeah, it'd be a great concert.
Yeah.
Let's go to more phone calls. Fred is next in Madison. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Kathleen. I like your show today.
Thanks,
and,
Fred.
I think the legacy of Carole King in regard to her voice will be a quality of sincerity and authenticity. Not necessarily striking or beautiful, but not negative there either. I would like to ask both of your opinions about comparing her voice with Barbara Streisand and with Cher.
Hmm. Well, what do you think of that comparison, Fred? Do you you would compare them?
No.
No.
I would say they're popular of the same period. Their early 70s is their peak. And the voices of Cher and Barbara Streisand, it's more the spectacle of a striking voice. In her case, it's more an authentic message. And, of course, the early 70s was the time of authenticity and, not being a phony. So, and she's our friend. She's
right.
close to us.
Yes.
And that's why she caught a certain wave of the baby boomer generation.
Oh, I like that, Fred. I think you're absolutely right. I think Barbra Streisand has a gorgeous voice. I love to listen to Barbra Streisand. I've never been a huge fan of Cher. And I never thought that Carole King had a beautiful voice, but very distinctive voice. And I think you're right. She was there. It's very present, and I like her voice, but I don't think it's as gorgeous as, say, Barbra Streisand's voice. But I like what you said about her. Don't you, Joel, that's why she resonates with us? She's a friend.
No, she doesn't have a voice as nice as Barbra Streisand or probably Celine Dion or Madonna. Some of the other big divas, you know, that have come along, Janet Jackson. There's been so many popular female singers, Whitney Houston. She has her own style, and it's wonderful. I think she'll probably be more well-known, you know, in the decades to come as a songwriter because, you know, 148 hit songs that she's written, and it's by such a great divergent artists, you know, from the great R&B artists to the great pop singers from the 60s and the 70s. And the people today that are still covering her songs that, you know, when they're doing an album, a new art, will pick up on an old Carole King song and do their version of it. So she'll always be remembered as a songwriter. But for me, I love her voice, and especially when she harmonized with James Taylor. It was like honey.
When you talk about her being remembered as a songwriter, here's a song that became a number one hit. You'll know the version by Aretha Franklin. This is a song that Carole King wrote, actually.
I used to feel uninspired. And when I knew I'd have to face another day.
Carole King and A Natural Woman, a big hit for Aretha Franklin. Carole King recently awarded the Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for Popular Song, and we're celebrating her musical legacy this hour of the program with Joel Whitburn. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Send an email message if you would like, and that's talk@WPR.org, or go to our Facebook page where there are already some interesting messages that you'll want to read if you're a Carole King fan, and that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. Carole King and I Feel the Earth Move, another of the hits from her Tapestry album. Let's go back to phone calls. We have many of them. Anne in Marshfield is next. Hi, Anne.
Hi. I love Carole King. My sister and I wore out her Tapestry album when it came out. But I think it's perfect that she gets the Gershwin Prize because just like the Gershwin, she crosses over in different cultural references, and her writing that was popular with the rhythm and blues singers of the Atlanta record label and Motown transcends just the singer-songwriter category that Tapestry represents. So I think she's a perfect person to have that award in of the Gershwin's cultural crossovers, too.
I think that's an interesting and important observation. Joel?
Yes, absolutely. And then you look at the other ones that won the award. Of course, I think Paul McCartney, Stevie Wonder, and then, of course, Bacharach, and David and Paul Simon. So they're all tremendous singer-songwriters, except for Bacharach, I guess, and David.
Mm-hmm.
Were pretty much just the songwriters for, especially for Dionne Warwick. They wrote almost all of her dozens of hits.
Do you know the story of how Aretha Franklin recorded A Natural One?
No, that probably was Jerry Wexler, because he took over as producer after she left Columbia and instantly transformed her into a major, major R&B star with the song I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You. And then her biggest, of course, was Respect, which was written by Otis Redding.
Right.
And then I think her fourth one was that You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, which is a Grammy Hall of Fame and a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame award. So exactly how that happened, I assume it was with Jerry Wexler, because I do know that she did write a song or two with Jerry Wexler as a lyricist. So that's the only way I can think of that he got Aretha to record that.
A rock music critic and author, Anthony DeCurtis, said she was very important for millions of people and very specifically for millions of women because she wrote about sexuality in the song that we just heard, I Feel the Earth Move. There's a playfulness in the song, he says, a willingness to explore something that not a lot of women songwriters outside of the blues ever really explored. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would agree with that, and I think she's known for that. And I think that's one of the reasons she's going to have many fans many decades from now.
Let's go to Tom in Madison next. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, I agree with every laudatory thing that's been said about Carole King so far. I'm 60 years old, and I have her Tapestry album. It's probably my favorite album by any performer of all time, and I remember starting college in 1975 and living in a dorm, and music from Tapestry was basically spilling out of all the dorm rooms in my dormitory when I got there. But I wanted to point out a couple of other things, too, that I don't know if people have mentioned this before because I came in the program halfway through. She was also, she is also a fantastic pianist. And I think the combination of her singing and piano playing and her songwriting that's unusual. I think a lot of
yes.
folk musicians, and I would consider her sort of folk pop, tend to perform with guitar and more stringed instruments. But she. The other thing is that I remember a public television, a live concert that she did, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 15, 10 years ago or so. I just happened to turn it on maybe 10 years ago, and I was amazed just at how dynamic she was as a stage performer, too. You know, she had these very intimate moments at the piano, and then the next thing you know, she's dancing all around the stage. And I just thought, my goodness, this woman has more energy than I could ever have imagined.
Thank you, Tom, so much for your call. Nice memories. We go to John in Milwaukee next. Hi, John.
Hello. I have two really quick questions, and I'll take my comments up here. The first one is, I thought when Sheryl Crow came out that she had the potential to be a female singer-songwriter like Carole King. Not only did she write a lot of her own hits, but she was writing for a lot of other people. And then she just sort of faded out of the picture, but I wonder what your guests might think about comparing those two. And the second thing is just more of a general observation. It seems as though in pop music today, the art of melody is being lost. When I hear writers like Carole King and some of the others you mentioned, John Lennon, Paul McCartney, Burt Bacharach, and obviously George and Eric Gershwin, I just wonder if your guest has any thoughts on that. Thank you.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. The art of melody is being lost. She did master the art of melody, didn't she, Jill?
Oh, definitely. No question about it. That song, I Feel the Earth Move, was one of my favorites, and that was just the B-side of It's Too Late. Smackwater Jack was
one of my favorites,
and that was the B-side of So Far Away. Those were just beautiful melodies. But I think he's right about, you know, she is a terrific piano player, but think of all the great ones, like Stevie Wonder, Elton John, Billy Joel, are all keyboardists or pianists. And so I think there's something to that. I think when you have the skills to play the piano, I think you can sit there and you can write songs. You can sit there and play with the melody and try different things. And so I think being a great piano player is a huge asset to writing great songs, great melodies.
Well, this thing about melody is interesting because I remember, you know, my dad really liked The Sound of Music and Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra. But he always would say, you know, it's nice to have a song that you can kind of whistle to and you sing to. And I'm wondering if we still do that very much.
Not as much, but you're right. I think in the past decades, there were a lot of great songs. I remember Roger Miller had songs. Going down the road, you'd be whistling to King of the Road or songs like that. I think the songs today are a little more maybe complex. You know, songs by people like Bruno Mars, Rihanna. But, you know, although I do like a lot of the today's artists, and Justin Timberlake, I think, has written some really nice stuff. And Mariah Carey, she writes a lot of her own songs and has had some terrific songs. But I think sometimes when you listen to Mariah Carey or Janet Jackson and some of their hits, that the melody is kind of lost sometimes, and you can't really whistle along or sing along like you can to...
Yeah, it's nice to sing along every now and then.
And, you know, when I look at her output of hit songs, the number one hits in that... Every Breath I Take by Gene Pitney. Go Away, Little Girl. Do you remember that one?
Sure.
I'm Into Something Good. Herman's Hermits, you know, from England.
Oh, she wrote that.
She wrote that.
Goodness.
The Locomotion, I'm sure you remember that, by Little Eva. One Fine Day by the Chiffons. Pleasant Valley Sunny by the Monkees. Take Good Care of My Baby. Bobby V, of course, was a huge number one hit. Up on the Roof. Will You Love Me Tomorrow, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, and You've Got a Friend. So talk about songs that you can, you know, open the windows up when you're driving down the road and sing and whistle to. She wrote them, she wrote the melodies. You know, although now in her Tapestry album, she did write most of the lyrics for those. She had help on a couple of the songs. But as for writing music, I think she was the greatest.
We have a couple Facebook messages that attest to what you were just saying. From Angie, Carole King is one of my all-time favorites. When my oldest niece was about 3 years old, I would put Tapestry cassette in the player and we would sing her songs all the way home. Troubadour Tour is the best concert I have ever attended.
Oh.
Janet writes, I remember listening to Carole King's albums repeatedly in the 70s. I'm also a tremendous fan of the program The Gilmore Girls. I was pleasantly surprised to see several programs that Carole was in. She played Sophie Bloom, owner of a music store. Anything Carole King is all enjoyable.
Very, very good. Very nice. Boy, she has so many fans. And I'm telling you, Kathleen, it's worldwide. We know that she has been certified for 10 million sales for Tapestry in the United States. But I've heard that, you know, worldwide, that album has sold 25 million.
Goodness gracious.
So she has fans all over the world. And, you know, I think with this nice Gershwin Award, which is a tremendous achievement given to her by President Obama. In fact, speaking of Obama, I heard that when he was receiving his, giving his nomination speech, I believe this is true, at his first convention, that she's saying, "You've got a friend," right before that.
Really?
Yeah. So that had to be quite an honor, quite a stage for her for that.
I'm sure.
But don't you think that she'll be coming back because she has so many fans. She writes such beautiful music. I really hope she continues on because she has so much talent.
I hope she does too. But then again, if she wants to just, I guess she has two geothermal heated swimming pools on a ranch in Idaho, and that sounds okay too.
Send her a copy of this show.
Okay.
And she can hear what the fans think of her and how much they love her.
All right. Yes, they do. Let's go to, can't read this. Cheryl? Cheryl from West Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. Gosh, I've been listening to you guys forever, and I just came in on the end part, but I was there. I moved to California in the late 60s, and I was a little folk singer. But I got to hear Carol at Griffith Park in California. And then, Joel, I don't know if you're aware of this, but on April 15, 1972, when George McGovern was running for governor, Carole King, James Taylor, Quincy Jones, and Barbara Streisand.
Oh, my, yes.
Then that time, Barbara Streisand was the main one, performed at the concert, and I was there.
Wow.
And just incredible, you know. And, yes, she was, I was living it, and, you know, I'm just about 4 years younger than she is. And really just a beautiful voice, and I love the lyrics and things like that. And I am so glad that people today are listening to some good stuff because she writes good stuff.
Yeah, she surely it's the music that marked your life. Thank you very much, Cheryl, for your call. Joel, thank you so much for being with us. It was great fun. I'm glad you're a big fan of hers.
I'm her number one fan. Well, maybe not. There's probably millions of number one fans.
Let's get them to Summerfest. That's a good challenge.
Don't you love that idea?
Take up the charge, sir.
Let's see what we can do about that.
All right. I think
great to
should.
Talk with you, Kathleen.
You as well, Joel. Joel Whitburn from Wisconsin. He is actually. He's a music historian, founded Record Research in Menominee Falls in 1970, and has researched music from 1890 to now. He's the author of the top 40 hits books published by Billboard. We thank him so much for helping to celebrate the music of Carole King when she won her Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for Popular Song. Thanks to KP Whaley and Rhonda Fanning for producing this program. We'll be with you again. Not tonight. Actually, we will. It repeats tonight, but tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Thanks for listening.